Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch. So joining me now is Peter Tuckman, the Einstein of Wall Street, and you even look more than Einstein than ever.
Last time, I'm more Einstein than ever.
What's your secret?
Anti-aging medication, that's it.
Really?
Yes, yes. I'm on, ever since the last October, I started taking all of this. There's a whole new movement here in the States. It's also in Europe for longevity and anti-aging, and so I was suffering from all kinds of, you know, things from my long COVID and stuff like that. And so I started on it, and I'm 10 years younger.
And your hair is still wild.
My hair is fantastic. I'm having a great hair day, which means that the market will be up. There you go. See, market is up. When I'm having a good hair day, it's always a bullish market.
We love that. Peter, some quick questions.
Sure.
So you are here for over 35 years.
41 years.
31?
41.
Oh, I wanted to make you younger,
I am younger.
So 41 years on the floor. What was the biggest change? Was it the technology here?
Yeah, I would say that was the biggest change. I mean, a couple of things. The technology is what caused the real change, which is the fact that there used to be 7,000 people in this room. And so while, you know, we are still the last human-based marketplace where there's interaction between human beings at the point of execution for stock, this was all caused by technology, right? So, you know, up until probably 2007 or 8 during the financial crisis, when we got the first bit of technology, right, the first handheld computer to trade with. Before that, we were doing everything was open outcry. It was done on paper, screaming and yelling and interacting with other humans. So once we got the first computer to execute stock, you know, there was not the necessity for as many people. I can send out 1,000 orders in 4 seconds, right? So unless people were able to reinvent themselves and find some new niche, right? That a lot of the people upstairs just chose to use an algorithm or just hit a button and basically execute stock. So the stock exchange has done a really good job of giving us still a little bit of an edge. So people who are really persistent like me, who did not want to leave here, who just saw the value of this place, stayed and were able to, you know, add a lot of value for their customers. But I think that just the advent of technology and then how that has overlapped into the lack of necessity for as many people.
Is AI the next big step or is it already here?
AI is already here. Look, AI is already in the nooks and crannies of our lives, and we say we're in the third inning of a 9-inning game that's going to go into extra innings. You know, it's a revolution. AI, the amount of money, trillions and trillions of dollars are being spent on cap expenditure by all the firms, even firms that are not AI firms, like Google and Facebook. All those people are investing. You know, they're visionaries, right? The heads of those companies are visionaries, and they're each allotting $600+ billion into the AI space, into the building data centers, and then there's always the secondary and tertiary derivative trades, the energy trade, and all those other things. And it's one of the big reasons why the market is still where it is. You know, think about it. We've been in this conflict. They don't want to call it a war, but we've been in this conflict now for maybe 12 weeks, right? We've watched the price of oil go from $63 a barrel to $120 and sustain itself above $100, which is incredibly inflationary. And so, it's starting to cause surely economic problems here in the States. I know it is abroad as well. And yet the market still trades at record highs. I mean, you know, we actually sold off about 13, 14% a few weeks ago. I know everybody got caught off guard. And then suddenly, boom, we went from 6,300 to 7,500 in the S&P, which is unheard of, and Dow 50,000. So the market is incredibly resilient. The market is strong. It's completely disengaged the war. And it's all about now. It's about AI. It's about earnings. And it's about what the lifeblood of the market is.
So when I met you 15 years ago, you were always a very...
You were 14 years old.
I was 14. You were 50-something. You were always very social. You talked to everyone here on the floor, very friendly. But now you're also very social on social media.
Correct.
So you have 1.2 million followers on Instagram.
Yes, I agree.
Everyone knows you here on Wall Street. How does this feel to be a star here on Wall Street?
You know what? I love every minute of it, to be honest with you. I did not expect this to happen. You know, I worked really hard to get to 250,000 followers, and I had a nice business and a good social media following. And then, you know, in middle of October, I did a couple of very small things that bridged a huge gap, and I went from 250 to 1.2 million. So, and the algorithm likes me a lot. You know, I went from 50,000 views to 50 million views, right? So, I mean, last month I did over 1 billion views in my content. So for me, it's very exciting. It's opened incredible doors for me. I just got a book deal. I'm doing a lot of collaborative deals with Robinhood, Polymarket, things like that. I'm going to speak at Cannes Lion Festival in Europe in a few weeks. And from the educational point, it's opened a lot of doors, right? So I have an academy where I teach people to trade, but I'm also working with, you know, there's a new thing called the Invest America. This is Michael Dell and the president have put $250 million to open up accounts for every child born. And so they're doing a lot of work to try and, you know, get people interested in financial literacy once again in the markets and stuff. So I am all of the fame is paying off in a big way. One new thing you don't know about yet is that there's a gentleman and a well-known artist who has made a statue of me.
Wow!
A 5'7". He gave me 2 extra inches. A bronze statue of me, which is going to be in the VIP entrance of the stock exchange in July. We're having a big ceremony. You'll be invited, probably 20th of July. And there'll be basically it's a tribute to the broker, right? Because it's a picture. It's this full statue that was done out of clay and then it was bronze. So I'm the only person to have a statue who's not dead yet, which is good. But it's, you know, it just shows that there is still an interest in Wall Street, and more than ever. I mean, I'm recognized, literally I can barely walk down the street, which is great. So, and my demographic is from 8 to 80, right? And which is great. So I'm enjoying every minute of it.
So in the future we can touch your statue as well.
Be able to touch my statue, yes.
So with this visibility is also a lot of responsibility coming, right?
Yeah. 100%. You hit it right on the head. And more than I even expected. Be careful what you wish for because you may get it. So, I mean, I wished for that. I wished for the availability to have a platform where I can, reach more people, reach millions of people. And now I have that. And so the responsibility is daunting. Because, you know, I'm not just, you know, doing jokes on social media. I'm talking about something this serious. First of all, the educational part to motivate and inspire the next generation of traders and investors, and then to try and help people to learn how to trade the stock market, that this is not a get-rich-quick scheme, that this is a place where you can build financial wealth and a legacy and change the narrative. You know, the doors are open now to everybody. Right. In the old days, it was a very exclusive place, not very inclusive. And so now it's open to everybody. So when you open the doors to everybody, people like myself have the responsibility to make sure they know what is involved in that. That it's not just about throwing a dart at a wall, that it's, you know, it's money. Money does funny things to people. Right. And so I am taking on the responsibility and on a daily basis.
And important is everyone can start, even if you are a student and you have $100, you can start, right?
Anybody with $100 and an iPhone can now trade the market. Before COVID, right, before Webull, Robinhood, all these free trading apps, you had to be an accredited investor to trade the stock market, right? You had to prove that if you, whatever money you invested in the stock market, if you lost it all, it would have no effect on your standard of living for 5 years. Well, only very wealthy people could say that. And so, but now anybody literally with $10 and an iPhone can trade the stock market. And so I love that, right? I'm an inclusive guy. So however, people need to understand the rules of the game, right? And so that they can benefit from it all. Because, look, you can lose more than you invest. You know, you can blow up your account and lose everything. And so we did see that initially happen when COVID came along and Robinhood and Webull, everybody was sheltered in place. They had a couple shekels in the bank. Remember, everybody got a stimulus, at least here. And then you had the meme phenomenon and you had just perfect storm and everybody was, you know, they claimed they were making millions of dollars with GameStop and, you know, and Rivian and all these. I would say probably 90% of them blew up the accounts and went home with the tail between their legs. But those retail people and a new generation of retail have come back, and they're really smart, right? I mean, they are the ones who have been buying the market last year, February, March, April, when the market sold off 20%. It was the retailers buying it and the institutions selling it, even though we would have thought it was the other way around. This recently, when we had this big sell-off a few weeks ago, right, market sold off 13, 14% kind of quietly. Once again, it was retail buying it. So retail has matured. There is a new generation of investors and traders in millions. I mean, probably 100 million by now. And they are a force to be reckoned with.
So we have some people looking at you with the big eyes. Any questions, guys, for Peter Tuckman? Yeah, please.
What is your secret for your success? It's more about feeling, understanding about the market, or you always have the information how the things work?
I think it's a couple of things. It's my ability to, my success, I think I attribute to my ability to make it accessible. Right? Lots of people talk about the market, but it's not that, it's not fun. You know, it's kind of dry. It's not particularly, you know, one of the things that I found, like last year, I started a show on CNN and with a man named Dan Ives. Dan Ives is number one tech analyst in the world. And he dresses kind of very flamboyant. And he and I had a show on CNN for almost a year. They brought us on for one night and we stayed for 8 months. Right. And the reason we stayed so long was that they felt that the story that we're telling, which is being told in different ways by many people, is not as accessible and fun to listen to and understand. And so I think that's one of my secret sauces, my ability to interact with human beings in a way that makes everybody, you know, it levels the playing field. Right. Some people here, you know, think they're better than everyone else, or they just come off in a different way. And they're not, you know, I mean, I can sit down with a group of 15-year-olds and, you know, and get them all excited about the stock market. Right. And I can talk to a bunch of 80-year-olds. So I think that's probably the point. Sure.
Next question.
All right. Thank you, Peter, for having. OK. Go ahead and have a drink. Thank you for having us here at the New York Stock Exchange. You got a very beautiful workplace, and we envy you for being here.
This is the greatest office in the world.
And my question to you is, when we see you in the background going back and forth with your tablet doing orders, about 80-90% is done electronically, and the rest is done by traders. Now, when especially do you need to go to see a designated market maker? Obviously, an IPO when the book is being built.
There are obviously in the old days, everything was done between the broker and the market maker, right? The market maker is the person who's flying the plane. He's there to create a smooth and active market and to inject liquidity into the market, right? Now, obviously, majority of orders are done by a human through a machine to another human and a machine. So we're not taking the human out of the equation completely, but normally I can just send out an order through an algorithm. It gets to the machine, and it's mostly machine generated. However, you know, there IPOs are a perfect example of where we still have complete human interaction, right? I mean, as you described, building the book, right? You know, what the New York Stock Exchange does better, and I've traded more IPOs than anybody who's alive today. Going back to LinkedIn, going back to Alibaba. I mean, I've stood there for hours and hours with the CEOs of all these companies. You know, I spent 5 hours with Jack Ma, CEO of Alibaba, right? What a wonderful story. A man who was turned down 199 times when he asked for a loan of $5,000 to start Alibaba. And he never gave up. And then the 100th person gave him $5,000. When he went public, he made $289 billion in one day. And he and I, we became friends because we're both very short. So he's actually a little shorter than me. But anyway, the necessity of having a market maker and a broker when you are building the book for the IPO is imperative. If you go to NASDAQ, right, and unfortunately I think maybe SpaceX is going over to NASDAQ, which is a deep mistake on their part, but our differentiator is the market maker. The market maker sets guidelines, right? That's the difference. If you go back to the IPO of Facebook, right, it was a disaster, right? The IPO was priced at 18, it opened at 42. The electronic book froze, and people were not given reports until after the end of trading that day. Very many of those people were trying to trade the stock and were unable to because you're not allowed to sell it until you get your buy report, and they didn't get their buy reports until the next day. So the electronic marketplace has limitations. Also, the lack of market makers makes it so that you can open at 3, go to 80, and back to 1 without anybody slowing the market down to try and inject liquidity and see what's going on. So that's one of our expertise. I always use the analogy of an IPO that you are building a building, right? And the way that building is built will affect the way it trades forever and ever, right? If you use cheap materials and sloppy bricks and you don't put them everywhere where they should be, the building will be completed, but it will crumble and tumble. You know, if you do it correctly, it will really affect the way the stocks are traded. And we've proven that time and time again here, that if you take the time necessary and you put the bricks in the right mortar and all that stuff, it's a better do. But still to this day, we still interact. I mean, I trade almost half a billion to $1 billion a day in the S&P 500. And it's done by all the orders are generated upstairs. The orders are then given to me, and then I route the orders to the book. And so, you know, even though it's electronic on its journey, it's being started and ended by a human being. So I think we are more relevant than ever before in this market that can go up and down thousands of points. Bless you. Thousands of points in a day. You know, the movements that we've seen in this market used to take a generation or a decade, and now it happens at lunchtime, right? And so if there's not a human being watching it and overseeing it and dealing with the guidelines, what we do here is if a stock dislocates from its last sale by 7%, we slow the computers down. If it dislocates by 10%, we stop trading. And that gives us a chance to identify what is causing this problem. Is it news out? Is it legitimate? Was it a fat finger? What is the problem? Because nobody is, only people are disadvantaged by, you know, I know everybody thinks, oh, it's great that it went up 300 points and down. Nobody is advantaged by that situation. More people end up losing in those situations. So by having human beings here, it's necessary, and we're still quite relevant.
So looking forward to the future, this place will ever stay?
I believe we're going to be here for a while. You know, I think that the Stock Exchange has made a major effort in giving us, as brokers here, the ones who are still left, they give us an edge, right? They give us what's called a priority parity model. So let's say you enter an order through from upstairs, whether you're in Germany or whether you're here, and you end up in the back of a queue. Right, like you're going to the movies, right? And whoever entered their order ahead of you is ahead of you, and they will buy stock before you. If you give your order to me, when the minute 100 shares trades, you become on parity with the book, and you will get a little bit of a sliver of every share that trades after that. Well, that's a big deal.
So you can skip the line?
I can skip the line, exactly. That's one thing. Also, if you enter an order through me, you can enter the order all the way to 359.50, right? If you enter an order from upstairs, the cutoff is 359.50. Those 9 minutes and 50 seconds is a huge, I'm sure you've all seen that in those 9 minutes, the market is very volatile. And that's because of that reason, that upstairs people are at 350, they're done. And then there's everybody else who uses me, has access to the time to still enter orders, and they're in and out very quickly making money. So the Stock Exchange has made a major effort to maintain this place as the greatest financial institution in the world. They have me as the ambassador, so they'll be here forever.
And hopefully we will see here for many, many years.
Many, many years. I'm just getting started.
That's so good. And you know what? I love it because, you know, I have still the feeling I can grow in the next 20, 30, 40 years.
100%. You know, there's a lot of work left to be done.
Thank you, Peter Tuckman.
It's a pleasure.
Und wenn euch diese Sendung gefallen hat, dann abonniert gerne den Podcast von Inside Wirtschaft und gebt uns ein Like.